Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Mouse Jones.
I'm Mac Wilds.
I'm Flora.
And we are
Live Next Door.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. We appreciate you. Thank you to the neighbors for listening. Thank you for the late neighbors for listening. Because if y'all didn't listen, it'd be an empty neighborhood. You know, it'd be a rundown building, be a crack
That's
house.
That's a fact.
You
feel what I'm saying? Tell them. Let them know.
Niggas would learn how to trap out that house. But because of y'all, we don't got to trap out the house. We get to live in the house. So we appreciate y'all. Listen, it's the same thing every week, okay? Subscribe, listen, leave a comment. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating. Why?
Please.
Because we're narcissists. We're little children, and we need to know we're doing a good job. And the only way we can know that is by visceral and real tangible action. So leave us a comment. Let us know you like what's going on. Also, feel free to let us know what you want to hear more of. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure
That's cool.
you've dealt with men before.
You know what else they could do for us? You know what else they could do for us?
What else?
They can put some snaps on a petrol and stop being cheap. Stop being moochers. Just stop doing it. Just go to our Patreon, please, and put a little cash in our pockets. Just a little bit. We do this shit for free twice a week. If you want some extra content, just give us a little couple dimes, couple nickels. If they equal $20, then that's what it is.
Ryan, they literally get 2 episodes for the price of none. So the least they could do is head over to patreon.com/guysnextdoorpod. Put some snaps on the Petro. You Hakeem. You Kimmy Gibblers. Do better in the community. We out here Please. Working.
I see it a lot of Jason Pitts in our comments, and I don't need it. I don't need it.
And Pitts. And Pitts and Dip and Pitts. And Pitts. Actually, now that you said that, I think it's time we do it's definitely time we do another Where Are They Now episode.
Absolutely.
We gotta get that lit. Where They Now got that I that got was fun. So we might have to do that. We also have some new content coming to you guys here soon, as well as the Patreon. So for real, y'all definitely wanna check that Patreon content out. You don't wanna be left out in the cold. If you guys got a listener letter that you want read on air that, you know, maybe a guest or maybe just me, Mac, and Ryan can answer for you, well, very simple. Send an email to guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. That is guysnextdoor123@gmail.com to get your letter read on air. It's very simple instructions. What do you have to do? You got to put your own fake name in the subject line so that way Che knows to use the fake name, or she's going to rewrite what's right in front of her. Then also, if you have a relationship question, doesn't have to be, but if it is a relationship question, very simply put a picture of you and the suitor, because I don't want to be out here giving ugly advice to good-looking people, and I don't want to give skinny advice to fat people. I want to keep the world balanced. You understand what I'm saying? So help me, help you, help y'all. Thank you very much. Oh, and before we get into the show, you already know. Follow us on Guys Next Door Pod. It's everywhere. It's the same thing. Guys Next Door Pod on all social media. If you want to continue the conversation on Twitter, use the hashtag Guys Next Door. So we are in a predicament that our listeners have by far grew accustomed to when outside was open. Mac's not here, but it's for a great reason. Mac is working. Mac is on set right now. He is still in the bubble. So Mac is recording. He's shooting. So we're here recording. But it's fine. We have great guests. We got a great guest. I can hear him knocking at the door now. So I am going to do this week in Good Shit Black Man, Goddamn Black Man. So, very simple. This week for Good Shit Black Man, we have none other than Matthew A. Cherry. You're going to ask me who is Matthew A. Cherry. Go ahead, Ryan. Ask me who Matthew A. Cherry is.
Who is Matthew A. Cherry?
Glad you asked. Matthew A. Cherry is a director who came up with this illustrated Man. Book called Hair Love.
You really made me look stupid.
Thanks. That was a setup. Like, let's make Ryan look stupid. Okay, cool. Who is it?
Well, Our Hair Love audiobook is live and is narrated by none other than Blue Ivy Carter. Yes, the young lady who pays all of our bills at The Guys Next Door. So Blue Ivy is narrating this. And I just feel like there's nothing else for that man, Matthew A. Cherry, to prove, right? Like, what else does he have to prove at this point? Blue nothing. Ivy knows his name. Blue Ivy knows him.
I don't know if she does. I think it was just one of her homework assignments. Like, you want
to
do this?
No, cool. I feel like Blue Ivy is the type to I feel like Blue Ivy is the. Can we hop on a Zoom?
She wants to see if. All right.
She wants to make sure.
There's a purpose. If there's a purpose in this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. She wants to make sure. Yeah. She's not just shining her brand to anything. I think Blue Ivy is very. At least that's how it's been in my short time in speaking with her. I realized that she is the type. To want to see your face. She wants to look you in your eyes.
She's observant. She's observant.
Yeah, she's observant. She doesn't want to just... The Blue Ivy Carter brand, it's a brand. You know, like Coca-Cola is a brand name. Like we know that, even if we don't know her any more than we know the General Motors.
You really tried to take it there. I got you, though. I got you.
So that was Good Shit Black Man. So congrats to Matthew A. Cherry. I also just like his story, right? The guy started out playing football and then realized that wasn't for him and then went into filmmaking and came up with this book. So I think it's super dope. Now let's get into Goddamn Black Man. This week, listen, this sounds like it should be on our Nosy Neighbors episode, but I'm going to tell the truth because this is evergreen content. It don't matter. I've been waiting for this to happen. For a long time. Ben Carson, that nigga got COVID-19 at a White House election party.
I think that's more of a good shit, black man. Like, you ain't with us.
No.
So you caught the COVID.
It was a good shit COVID.
Good shit COVID for getting Ben.
COVID. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. You took COVID. I seen what you did to others.
And remember, his man said, it don't exist.
It don't exist.
That's what his man, Redface, said.
Yo, to be the person to, do the first open heart surgery, to see how far you've come down.
That's crazy.
I love to see it.
It's normally to see how far you've come up. And yeah, Ben Carson definitely started with heart surgeries and now he has COVID. So, does he really know the body?
Ooh, child, that was good, Ryan. That was good. That was Ancient Black Man, Good Shit Black Man. Ryan, I know you hear the door. It's about time we answer the door. We have ourselves a visitor. I know he just came in. He's from Miami, Florida. Little Haiti, to be exact. Nah,
he's from Miami. He's not from Florida. I already know what they say.
No, listen. It sounds good, but that's Miami, Florida. Okay. He's right over there by Opa-locka. He's right over there by finger licking. I know exactly where he's at. Mm-hmm. I would like to welcome to the crib Alamo Records' first R&B act, Saintville. Ooh. What's going on, brother?
What's good, family? Listen, appreciate you, bro.
I ain't going to hold you. Now, I've been a fan. We've been connecting. We've been rocking.
Yeah, for sure.
But we got to keep it a buck. How did that feel for somebody to say the first anything, let alone the first R&B act on a JV like Alamo?
Man, I'm looking for a lot more. You heard? I'm looking for a lot more the first. So it felt good, you heard?
Felt good, right?
Yeah, yeah. You you damn near need to start announcing little boxing matches and shit. You heard? I like the way you stack that.
That's how I know he's from Florida. Niggas want me to start announcing backyard boxing matches,
like a Kimbo Slice.
Yo, this is gonna be hard for me, man. Y'all boys be cracking me up, dude.
Listen, man, we just try and make sure, you know, we are doing our part. We have uplifting, you know, thought provoking conversation, but still being real niggas. You know what I mean? I think with me, Mac, and Ryan, and even Che, we find a way to like still be humans and still, you know, be open to learning. So, you know, for the people that love us, thanks. For the people that don't love us, we still at almost 3-point-something million listens. So we're doing just fine. It's all right. We're doing all right. But before we get into this conversation, where does Saintville, where the name come from? Where does the
let us know some more
from?
About you. We want to know about you. We might know about you, but somebody might not. So just give us a little song.
Honestly, it comes from my Asian background. Saintville is actually my real last name. I don't know if I should have said that, but you know it is what it is. It's my real last name, and it's actually pronounced Saintville.
Violating my man's shit. You heard, Mal? Stop violating his shit. Get his shit right.
No. The English translation is cool. I ain't tripping. It sounds dope.
I met him. I didn't know.
He told you. Okay.
If it would have said Saint, in front of it, I would have known. If it would have been Saint, I would have been Saint Saintville. I would have said it properly, but because there's no Saint in front,
But it's cool because like the English translation is Saintville, so it's okay. Cool. You know what I mean? I ain't tripping. You know what I mean? And people think I'd be trying to say that like I'm like the only sane person in the village or some shit. So many weird shit, bro. I be hearing, but it's crazy because you right. You know the zone, Lil Haiti, all of that.
That's a fact.
I can tell you've been through there, fam.
That's a fact.
Listen, for sure.
A lot of good times in Opa-locka. A lot of good times in Lil Haiti. You know, it was in and out. It was an in and out situation. You know, I'm not from there, so I don't stay around too long anywhere I'm not from.
You good. Next time you go, check out Chef Creole, bro. That's
Chef Creole
over there.
So all the time I've been down there, I've been down there 3 times. I've never had Haitian food because I don't be around Haitian people when I'm there. So I don't know what to
I've
get.
I've dipped and dabbled over there a couple times. In and out moves, though. In and out moves.
You
know, it's crazy. One of my favorite artists. Well, I won't say one of my favorite artists. I delete that statement. An artist that I fucked with at the time. Yeah, he had a big song in Miami, tatted on my chest because I'm a Zoe, and that was one of my joints. It was between It was between that and the "You must not be that."
First of all,
those are classics, bro.
First of all,
I'm from Brooklyn, and I know the classics.
Y'all fronting on Ball Greasy.
Ball Greasy hard.
I get it, but I'm going
his
to
first record out.
Swap me like this.
Swap me. Oh, wait, is that the man?
What?
Yo, so I hosted. So I had the pleasure of hosting Ace Hood and Sheila Marie's wedding. When that record dropped in Miami, bro. That party went crazy.
I'm trying to tell you.
And everybody in there joking.
Joking. That's what it's called. Joking.
Just joke. What?
That's like our second back that ass up. Because nothing tops back that ass up. But it's just like that.
That's
it. Like, you feel me?
If that drops, it's time to go.
You heard?
So that's what I know about that. That's what I know about that. I know that.
Hey,
that's all I know.
Believe it or not, man, y'all niggas, bro, y'all would overthrive in Florida, period, bro.
With a little security.
No.
There's a little bit of security.
Ain't enough security in the world to get me to Florida. Nope.
You're going to be good. As long as you kick it with a section, you're going to always be good.
Listen,
I need at least three niggas in my section with the big dreads that look like catfish nuggets.
COVID thing. COVID been kicking COVID been kicking them niggas ass too. You understand me? I'm not. Nope. Bye. No, Florida act like Florida don't know it's in America. So no, bye. I'm good. Absolutely not. But even asking that, right? Like, what was it like for you growing up out there? Like, everybody has a different story. So you because you was born in Haiti and then you came over here, right?
No, I was born in Little Haiti. So I was born in Miami.
Got you.
Yeah. But this famous hospital called Jackson Memorial. All the thugs come from Jackson. You heard?
Yes.
So.
Heard about Jackson Memorial on the Trick Daddy albums.
You heard? Yeah. So I was born there, and I grew up, I want to say most of my life in Miami, and then I transferred like high school to like Orlando, which,
okay,
lo and behold, ain't that much better. Like, real shit. But like, Mickey Mouse pay that bread so, you know, the news don't get out, of course. You don't want people coming to Florida feeling like,
I always thought about that because I'm like, there has to be, like, I always thought to myself, there always had to be like a robbery incentive for the niggas living in Orlando. Like, Disney's in there. Then TNA Wrestling is down there.
Man.
Like, a lot of, like, it's the a bubble. Big wrestling territory down there, the bubble. So I'm like, when outside was open, you mean to tell me niggas didn't know that and wasn't going to, like, the parking lots and robbing people?
They used to get them. I was never part of that.
But okay. They used okay.
To get them, bro.
Clearly, clearly SJP is working. Yeah, clearly SJP is working. Good catch.
Me?
Good catch.
You feel me? Yeah, they used to get them, and it was wild because the high school I went to, they had like magnet programs, right? So
what's a magnet program?
So a magnet program is like sports and arts. They would take the kids from the hood and bring them to the good neighborhoods, right?
Give me a second, save it. Ryan, why are you laughing at me?
Because you never went to school.
That's why
he thought a magnet program is what you put on your fridge.
That's what I thought.
He don't know nothing about no magnet program. He thought he hung pictures of his kids on the fridge.
He said magnet program. I was just like, oh, my kids in that program. I got like three or four things hanging up on the fridge.
Yo, that's why I laughed, because I knew he was just gonna keep talking over it, but I realized why you asked.
I was gonna breeze right through it. Like, okay, I just learned something.
It's like a little. It's like gifted. It's for gifted. Like not your gifted. The other gifted, the one that excelled in the education. You gotta explain gifted sometimes, because gifted is either special or like intelligent.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like how they grouped those two. Like, those are two different hallways. Like, there's like gifted hallway and there's
the gifted.
There's gifted hallway. Like, how you gifted and you got mad teachers and a little bit of students? That's not gifted.
Yeah. If you got more teachers and students in your class, you gifted, all right. You're definitely a gift.
Yo, that remind me. Yo, my nigga, when you was talking about the Oreos and like, yo, the expectations, nigga, I was dying, bro. Oh, my God. This nigga say, yo. Hold up, bro. I'm crying, bro.
This might be my favorite episode ever. Oh my god.
This nigga say, hold up. don't be trusting the women that don't get the extra Oreos. Like, how you expect them standards from McDonald's, but you expect me to do more.
Facts.
I was like, yo, facts.
That's a
yo,
fact.
I ain't never been with a bomb shawty that ain't ever asked for extra Oreos, fam. That's never, bro.
Listen. Shit. I didn't plan on talking about dating today, but I will say,
know your
ladies,
worth.
If you listening, ladies, if you listening, don't ask for me more than you ask for me a McFlurry. Like, if you go to McDonald's and you order the McFlurry and you just say regular Oreos, like, you don't say nothing. You like, can I get an Oreo McFlurry? Are you crazy? So when you come home to me, you're going to take what I give, because you didn't ask McDonald's for the extra Oreo. Like, Ryan, think about it. Every time you went to McDonald's with a shorty, she was like, yo, can I get an Oreo McFlurry Oreos?
How about this? If you go to McDonald's all the time, you know the machine always broke. So when you come home to me, have the same expectations.
You know, I'm broke.
You know I ain't got it. You went to that McDonald's five times. They said it was broke. You kind of, I don't got nothing for you.
And every single time you still go. You still
try it.
McDonald's. You still love me, McDonald's. Come to me. Don't come to me looking for me to be better than I was yesterday. I'm the Oreo McFlurry that you didn't ask for extra Oreos on.
Facts.
Take me or leave me.
Facts.
Now, yes, finish telling me about this Magna program because we will be off topic like a motherfucker. Me and Ryan feeling good.
Good day. Yeah. Hey.
What Kendrick mama said? I don't know. He on one. He feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Right. That Domino's, man. Yo. Yeah, so like, yeah, man. Shout out to the hoods in Orlando, Pine Hills, Tangelo. I lived in Carver Shores, which was like,
okay.
I want to say like an 8.5 out of 10 hood ratio rating.
To the notorious side? Like,
yeah,
that's 8.5 more. Okay.
Yeah. There's definitely 10 hoods in, you know what I mean? But like, mm-hmm. I feel like because Carver Shores was so close to like the main street, which is Kirkman, you could hit
Kirkman, okay.
Universal Studios and all of that from out there.
Well, Che,
I feel like
oh,
the police was on it really hard.
Because Che is from the Kissimmee area. And Kissimmee and Orlando are rather close.
Kissimmee, Orlando is like different boroughs.
West Orange County? What's that?
Wait, she said Metro West?
Metro West?
Yeah, Metro West.
That's like right next to Carver Shore. So
right next to Carver Shore.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
She said she not from the ghetto.
Carver Shore, she said she not from the ghetto. So y'all need this. Are you feel me? No, because look, this is really what it is. So
I'm not from the ghetto.
Ask her if I'm right. Kirkman is like the main street, right?
Kirkman's the main street.
On her side is where everything's all beautiful. And
beautiful on her side.
The street, yeah, literally across the street, nigga, the hood where I'm at.
Don't act like I'm a gentrifier.
No, it's just not gentrified. We just not there.
Gentrification has to do with everybody. It was just white people.
You're a gentrifier. No, Weezy's a gentrifier, and she's been one.
What's weird is that, think about it. We're talking about Florida now. She's not a gentrifier because it's always been like that. You're going to always have the hood literally
across the street
from where shit going crazy. And then a big wall of police patrolling every, like, they file up and down that street. You feel me?
Okay.
So,
I get it.
So they picked my hood up and brought us to this big ass rich ass school.
And the school was the school was called. You said the school was called
Dr. Phillips High School.
Dr. Phillips High School. Okay.
Because basically they needed football players. I'm gonna say it like that.
Sounds like America.
Yeah. Now you from Florida? I know you play. I know you played Pop Warner. I know you played. What
with Trick Daddy League? You played in Trick Daddy League?
Yeah, what you?
I'm gonna keep it 1,000 with y'all, bro. So I'm playing football, right? And I'm fast as fuck. I'm fast. I'm gonna keep it 1,000. My catching is good, but it ain't like elite. I'm a swatter. I'm safety.
Oh, I was about to say. They had you on the safety.
I'm a swatter. You feel me, bro? Not even in practice, my nigga, trying to show off for some girls, bro, on a wet field. I'm out doing it, boom, making niggas look stupid. I don't even play offense, but damn, in PE, I sure do today. You feel me? There were shawties out there. Man, I'm talking about, I try to stop. My knee turns this way, bro.
Oh, no.
I tear my whole shit, bro. So,
that's when music popped up, huh?
You heard? I was like, man, fuck this. I can sing, bro. Like, I ain't gonna get hurt for y'all. What's going on?
Now, I'm glad.
Was this before or after the dreads? I know you had dreads.
This is before the dreads.
All right.
Because my mom thought that if I had dreads, I was gonna sell drugs. That's just a Caribbean mother thing. They just think, oh, you look like them, da da. Like, they're super into stereotypes. They want you to graduate college.
Is she wrong?
Go to school.
She wasn't wrong.
Is she wrong in your neck of the woods?
Nope.
I mean, that was the uniform, but I mean,
she wasn't wrong about you. You could be honest. She wasn't wrong about you. Just act like Savoy not here. She wasn't wrong about you. For a good, like, I'm looking at you, and I know good and well for a good 2 weeks.
Savoy, no. I mean, but I did it for different reasons, though.
See, like, but I knew. Right?
I see the gold teeth in his mouth from here.
Yeah. I could see it. I know a nigga that'd boof a pack real fast. I know a nigga.
But look, mine's was different though. Like, mine's was different though. I never did it to like I never did. I did it because I wanted clothes and I wanted like to get fly, and my mom couldn't buy it for me. So that's why I had to, you know what I mean? And then at a
Point, same exact reason I jumped off the porch. Same, like literally to verbatim, same exact reason I jumped off the porch. I'm the oldest of, I'm the oldest of five kids. Like there was no way my parents could keep up with what I wanted. So. Yeah.
But you, you move different though, bro. Like you like, oh, you like the ultimate real nigga. Like you don't lie. You know what I mean? And look, my dog over there like, all right.
That's the greatest. That's literally the greatest compliment I ever heard in my life.
But this is why I think that. I'm hanging up my podcast and boots, man. It's because most of the shit you say, like damn near 9.5%, not 95% of the shit that you say, I relate to and like fully believe. So I think I'm a real nigga. So of course I'm gonna be a real nigga.
Well, so listen, that's how
you're trying
that's
to say I'm not. Like,
no,
where you going,
my nigga?
Here?
Look, nah, I fuck with you.
Okay, me and Mouse got the same birthday, bro. So whatever compliments you give him, you're giving
that's
me.
That's a fact. Like fact. I've never said it about a person. Me and Ryan are literally the same exact person, except if it's even possible, I may have a worse temper than Ryan. Other than that, we're the same exact person.
When I'm drunk, my temper is outrageous. So he just doesn't drink or smoke weed. I do that. So
where you from again, fam?
Me or Ryan.
Ryan.
Brooklyn.
See, there we go. See, that's that North nigga shit though.
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn.
That's a fact. You feel me? Like,
so we realists, bro.
That's cool though. Hey, can I say this, bro?
Of course.
New York niggas are my favorite type of niggas. Like, I feel like my Florida nigga. Niggas and New York niggas, like, we go like this, bro. And Philly niggas, we go like this, bro. And I feel like it's because there's, like, a large population of just Caribbean-ness where y'all from and where we from. Okay. So there's, like, a common understanding. You know what I mean?
I get that. I definitely get that.
Let me ask you this. Because there's a topic I want to dive into. But I want to ask this because I think it's super pertinent to, like, today.
Pertinent? Like, what's that mean?
Important. Like, relatable.
Okay.
Right on the nose.
My nigga.
That wasn't like even you a went Ryan to a, that talking was, like you went to a magnet. Okay, I see.
Look. It stuck to me.
I see you, boy. I'm giving you your flowers while you here. I see you.
I can smell them.
That nigga's hurt, yo.
But so I want to ask because, you know, for me and Ryan, well, for me, I'll say because I grew up on Long Island. So I didn't have as much, access or even experience around different cultures. Like there was Jamaican. And then when we found out about Haitians, like I'm just being honest, like, everybody made fun. Like it was like, wait, what? Because we followed the American blacks. We followed, at least in my, I'll speak for me. We followed suit of the Jamaican blacks. So when we seen Jamaicans, everybody knew Jamaicans. We all seen Face of Death with Steven Seagal. Like we all seen Shatters. We all ate Jamaican food. So we all knew about Jamaican people. And then there really was no Haitian representation on TV and things of that nature, except for like voodoo Wyclef. Priests and Wyclef. Well, you gotta remember, growing up, we thought Wyclef in the States, we thought he was Jamaican. We didn't know Wyclef was.
He was
Haitian
saying all that sapase, but we just thought he was rhyming.
We thought
song.
It was Jamaican. Yeah. So the reason I ask is, what was that like in Haiti, where you have such a prevalent representation of Haitians and Jamaicans and different Caribbean Black people? Like, what is that melting pot like?
Man, all Caribbean people pick on each other, for sure.
Okay.
So that was always that. But it's all love. So it's like, I don't know. To me, it was always very, very prevalent because I knew for a fact who Wyclef Jean was, and I knew our history. And that's probably because of my mother and who she is. But yes. Growing up in Little Haiti, man, it's just like Haiti, low-key. Like, everybody's Haitian. I don't know about... I don't think so much now because it's more Little Haiti is more Midtown than Little Haiti now. But
you guys have definitely not infiltrated. Y'all have definitely influenced the culture down there. Like
1,000%.
Like the even if you hit like I meet niggas that be like, yo, I'm regular black from down there, but they got the they Zos, they hang around the Zos, they have that the Haitian South Florida accent is very it's very distinct. Like when I heard you say, when I heard you speak the first time, I'm like, oh yeah, he from South, he gotta be from South Florida talking like that.
Yeah.
And like you can hear everybody start to sound like that.
Yeah, I wanna say it's a Florida period, Miami is just like a weird brotherhood. But like I feel like the way that we've affected the landscape is just through being that different Caribbean sauce other than Jamaican and Virgin Island and all of those that you already know that like stepped into the industry, because music in Haitian in Miami is, I want to say, a big thing. Like a Haitian artist just doing Creole could blow in Miami. Mm. You feel me?
Mm.
So I know we've affected in that way, but as far as the world, I don't think too many Haitian artists and influencers wave the flag like they should. Like a lot of people don't really know that Usher has Haitian in him. You know what I mean? I don't even think he claims it. You know what I mean? A lot of people.
I've seen him say Creole. That's news to me.
And they'll do that. You feel me? And it's like you said, people were ashamed back in the day. I used to get picked on every day after school. Like me and my brothers, bro, a pack of us. Like I'm gonna say a pack because I have like four older brothers, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. and one sister. I have multiple on my father's side, but on my mother's side.
Wait a minute. Your dad got mad kids outside the house?
Bro, my dad was a savage. You heard?
So the Haitian stereotype is true. Secret family society.
For the most part, I mean, he wasn't secret. He was just kind of like...
He just, everybody knew?
Everybody knew. And then he tried to, this is what it is. He tried to run that shit on my mom, right? And my mom was like, nah, nigga. And then he would like play around with the shawties and then come and try to like propose to my mom and shit, like, what's up? Da 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 da. And she'd be like, nah, nigga. You feel me? So like everybody knew, but low key, my mom was the one, but she didn't want his ass. My pops passed, by the way. He's like, he's gone.
Rest in peace.
He was a real ass nigga. Rest in peace. He was a real ass nigga. He used to like move work. I mean, that's it. That nigga dead. But he used to move work from Haiti to Miami. Like, he was that nigga. You heard? So my pops had all the bread. And my mom would just be like, give me some money. Get the fuck out of here. So that's why he had all the shawties. You feel me?
So what is that dynamic like growing up, right? Like, seeing your dad in and out the household like that. Like, and your family kind of existing in this, like, hybrid sister-wife-like connection. Like, what's that? How did that even... Mm-hmm. How did that start to curb your upbringing and your outlook on relationships?
Well, he kind of passed when I was six, so I didn't really understand what was going on. But from what my brothers and sister told me, this man was the champ, so they loved this nigga. They viewed him as their father, even though he wasn't. You know what I mean?
Oh, he was only your dad.
He was only my father. You feel me?
Gotcha.
And then after I was born, my mom just kind of wanted nothing to do with him.
That's crazy.
Yeah, dog. So I have like brothers after me on his side, but it's like I don't know them. I don't know them niggas. Like I have brothers that from my father's side that's been killed before I had the chance to shake their hand type of shit. Because Miami wild, bro.
Yeah.
It can get, you know what I mean? It can get very wild. So yeah, I mean, I didn't really get to experience it. From me growing up, my brother was my father, who also passed. But like that was my dad type of shit.
Is this your brother who got you into music?
Yeah, man. Yeah, he was a weird one. So, like, this is my thing. I learned a lot of patience from this dude. So, before he passed due to suicide. So, that's like a big thing to me. That's why I like to put it in music.
Mm-hmm.
But he passed due to suicide.
How much older was he than you?
He was about, I want to say, 5 years older than me.
Okay.
Yeah. But he was a dancer, but like he was a hood nigga dancer, which is like I didn't know existed. I thought he was unique, but over here in LA, apparently all these niggas be dancing and they all hood niggas, so it's weird.
Yeah, you should watch what dance they do and look at what they're wearing. It'll let you know what not to wear.
Exactly.
You know, I want everybody to remain safe. So just always pay attention to the exact dance they're doing
right.
and what their fingers is doing in correlation to that dance.
You definitely have to look at that.
I love your music. I love you as an artist. So I want to continue to hear music from you. So, you know, I just want you to be safe while out there, okay? If they start you know, start skipping across the lane. It's not Bow Wow. Okay?
Right. Get, nah, facts. Get, I mean, which just is go weird. Home. Facts, which is weird because my brother banged Blue, which is okay. Another dynamic because like him and certain family members don't get along because he do that now.
So yeah. Hold on. So he was Crip.
Not the one that passed. Not the one that passed.
No. Okay. Damn, this
you got some breaking down to do, brother.
Yeah.
I'll be so
real with you. When I first was like learning about Zoes and stuff, I thought y'all was set tripping because y'all was Blue and red. So I'm like, yo, what the hell is going on?
Niggas forgot their whole flag is red, white.
Yo, because in the song is tattered on my chest because I'm a Zoe, and he says, and it's like Blue and red, and I'm just like, yo, there's no way possible. I don't know what happens when you go down to Miami. I don't know if you're blood, you're cool with Cribs, you're Cribs cool blood, but I don't know what's going on. But I'm gonna stay out of it. I'm gonna just bop my head, and that's it. So that's what confused me. But now you saying your brother was Blue, that's a whole different dynamic.
See, but this is the thing, like banging colors in Florida is different. It's like really by like it's like. It's by section out here too, but it's by sections in a different way because you could be in the same neighborhood, but it's literally like the next block over, they reference something completely different. So like Florida's big with like GDs, like black flags and shit. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So like niggas don't really bang Blue. So how did this nigga come to bang Blue? This nigga, bro, 17 years old, flew to LA.
And got put on the set out there.
Bro, got put on and started making a connection. I'm going to leave that at that. You feel me?
Yeah.
So this nigga come back, and this nigga, he jumped the whole neighborhood in, basically. And now he got runners. Like, low-key. And wouldn't let me join.
And how much older is this one than you?
He's 2 years older than me.
Gotcha.
So... I hate to get heavy. I suffer.
No, from, we're here.
I suffer from monophobia, which is basically this real but unreal thing. Is it basically the fear of being alone due to all of my family all of a sudden just sliding on me? So you remember when I said I did it for a different reason? It's literally because at a certain point, my nigga, like I was alone, like by myself. Like I had no brothers, no sisters around me. My mom was like, she was like in Miami. This is like after I moved to Florida. After I moved to Central Florida, she went back to Miami because she lost her brain. Because that brother I was just talking about, that bang, he accidentally shot a lady in the head in the crib, in front of her kids trying to clean a bro. It got wild. So
that's traumatizing.
It's very traumatizing, bro, and that's not even like...
I'm not even gonna hold you. Like, you got me, like, stuck right now. Because when you say you got monophobia, I was dead about to be like, me too, because I caught mono one time growing up, the kissing disease. And I was like, I never want to do that again. I never want to catch that again. So I was on board with you.
You wasn't too far off of my thinking, so
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, all right, because when you said monophobia, like, I was like, yo, this nigga right. Because New York, Florida, I don't want to get that shit again either. But I was like, yo, you really stuck me. You stuck me right now. I'm like, wait, being alone?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you?
At a certain point, I was like in the crib. Like I was in the crib in Carver Shores, like by myself. So I threw parties every night just because I didn't want to be alone type of shit.
On some like Project X type shit.
Yo, before you keep going, let me stop you right there. Because what you said is some people say it's made up. That shit is not made up. What you have is something that's serious. Like, people don't understand, especially in a black home, how things can happen around us where we are alone and we don't have anybody to talk about it. So if anybody ever tells you, like, this is a make-believe situation or a make-believe feeling, like, that's not true. What you have is serious, and people need to understand that. So I had to just say that before you just kept going.
It's funny that you said that, Ryan, because it kind of goes into what I want to talk about today. Like this whole thought process, this whole very, very, very like toxic thought process that like men don't have this space to heal. Men don't have this space to grieve.
We don't.
Right? And because of Shaneville's unique but not unique story, you know, because I think there's a lot of people that grew up that way, that lost somebody who was like, your brother who put you, who got you into music. Mm-hmm. He's no longer here. And it's not even, you know, there. It's like layers to trauma, right? Like, yeah. It would have been, you know, I feel like, and this is just, you know, me speaking, I could be wrong. I feel like it's one thing. I think it's more easily acceptable for us to accept somebody being taken away from us, like somebody being killed, mm-hmm. than it is for us to accept somebody killing themselves.
On the nose, bro. Like,
right?
You go through so many emotions. You love the person, but then you find those special times where you hate that person. You're like, damn, bro. So
can you talk about that part? I've never lost anybody to suicide.
Yo, it's been like 5 years, bro, and I still have those moments, bro, where I stop and I'm just like, yo, my nigga, you mad lame. Like, what? You know what I mean? And I think to myself, because with that fear of monophobia, you always had that one person in the back of your head that like, oh, if all else fails, I'm going to call this person. Like, even while grinding, you just have that. You may have like that father or that older sibling, like that just that pillar. Then when they go, it's like you start to feel like people expect you to get over it, but you can't get over it.
You can't.
Like, there's no fucking way to get over
and it's not for nobody to say that. Facts. It's nobody to tell you how you should feel in any certain way in those feelings. And that's when you were saying, Mouse, like, it's a unique but not unique situation. It's like, it's unique because he's able to talk about it and he was able to grow out of that in his mind, which it's still a problem in his head. I can see all of us having some type of that in us, but for you to be successful in where you are now and to grow from that, that's the biggest unique part about your situation. Cause we know situations like yours and mine's and Mouse's of people that never get a chance to be successful in something that they love to do. So your unique situation was flipping it and turning it to
where it's almost like, and it's almost like, it's so, yeah, we about to go there. Cause it's so fucked up in our community. And when I say that, I mean, I'm specifically just talking about black men for a moment, right? A specific type of black man, like a cishet black man, right? Who grew up the way we grew up. It's like, I have those same thoughts of loss about people that's still alive.
Whoa, talk to him.
You get what I'm saying?
Talk to him.
Like, I have mentors and friends that are locked behind the wall, and I'm like, I'm probably never going to see you again. I'm probably only going to get to speak to you through these messages and whenever you could get a phone, whenever you could call. And it's like, bro, why? I mean, I know why, because put in the same predicament, would I do the same thing, I did the same thing.
Right.
But it's like, bro, why? Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, why? Like, why would you do that? Like, why are you not here?
And you know what?
You get what I'm saying?
You know what makes all of this worse? And I know y'all gonna feel me. What makes it 10 times worse is when you're a leader on top of all of that shit. Because then you probably have people behind you who you can't even like allow to see you shake. Because then you're worried about how everybody else, they gonna panic. You don't want them to panic. You feel me? So then it stops you from sharing. It stops you from showing those cracks.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Shit get heavy, bro.
And like you said, Mouse, you say the why. Like, I think about the same thing too. There's people that I know that will never get out. But then you also got, but we can't be selfish and also think about how you feel on the other side. And I've been on the other side where I was locked up and it was like, yo, why did I do that?
why did I get out the bed that day and go make those decisions? So when I think about the people that I can't see and it's like, yo, why'd you do that? Even though I understand why they did it, I also look at it. Once you've been in there and you've been in that space and they close that door, then you kind of understand like their whys are a little deeper than our whys. Because our whys come, our guys come with nothing, with I could get up and still do whatever the hell I want tomorrow. Their whys.
Also, yeah. Also, our whys, I think it's, you know, I think we always have to acknowledge that. Like I said earlier, it very well could have been us, right? Like, we've all been in situations no different from the friends we've lost, whether they're in the grave or behind a wall. You feel what I'm saying? But even in that, right, like, there's a grieving that takes place or that should take place or that white men are available to have. Women are typically available to have of all colors, but we as black men, we don't get that space to grieve a loss
at all.
But Sainville, you use your music to do that, right? Like you use your music to speak about that. Does it feel like a therapeutic thing or is it more or less just like putting words to paper, putting the song out, but you still feel this?
Man, it feels therapeutic, but it feels therapeutic while making it in like a couple of hours after making it, listening to it. Then after a while, you just have to make more. So it's just like alcohol or it's just like weed. You know what I mean? Like that feeling dies down and you have to make more. Like it's not refreshing every time you replay that song. And that's probably just me. You know what I mean? I feel like with Pain Period, it's always easier to find a way to deal with it outside of yourself.
How would you feel? How would you feel if, like, because I'm always cognizant of that, right? When I hear people talk about their music, what influenced their music? Like, say one of your songs about, you know, a traumatic experience or a traumatic moment that you were using to, you know, as far as a therapeutic tool. What if that song is the one that hits? Does it put you in a weird predicament, right? Because it's like it I love like the song is doing what it's supposed to do, but then also it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's making me confront these issues and these things that I have not dealt with, that I have not unpacked, that I tried to use this art form as a way to unpack it, yeah. But now I have to hear it every time I turn on the radio. I got to hear it every time I go to repetition a stream. You gotta go perform it.
To see people happy, like dancing to your pain, must be a weird thing too. Yeah, I mean, I've experienced that a couple times. I'm not looking forward to experiencing that too much, but at a certain point, I think what overshadows that is just the happiness that people can relate to how you felt and that you put that out there for them. Because then, I've had times listening to Cudi or listening to Jay or listening to Kendrick that I've been like, damn, all right, these niggas understand me. You feel me?
Isn't that really the story of a black man, how people dance through our pain? Or black people in general?
Expand on that.
If you really look at it, like I was watching Dave Chappelle the other day, like the first season, and when Paul Mooney came on, he was like, yo, everybody want to be a nigga, but they don't want
to
be a
nigga. Until it's time to be a nigga.
So it's like you want to dance to our music. You want to glorify not even glorify our lifestyles, but of course you want to tune into it and dip and dap into it. Yeah. But when it's time to be that, you never want to be that. So it's like our whole lives are really glorified through other people's eyes. But when it's time to really do that dance, they will never do that dance. You know what I'm saying? Yo. So that's like that line that you said just hit when you were like, yo,
it's like
dancing
that,
to my pain.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy you said that because it's like that intrapersonally as well, right? It's like that, and I, like I said, I don't want to talk about dating today, but it's like that between the man and woman in that relationship, right? Or man and man. I've never experienced a relationship like that. So, but like, essentially, women want that from a man. They do participate in a very specific kind of patriarchy where, you know, they do want a strong man and they do want a man that's about business and a man that's not going to fold in, a not weak man, but they don't know what goes into or what takes out to have that, right? Man. And then when they have that man that is those ways, they can't deal with it because of why he's like that.
And you know what, man? We'll fuck around and get in trouble because of that too. Because I was trying to tell this shawty, like, yo, I can't do it because of reasons that fall into that. And then she labeled me a fuck boy. I was like, yo, I'm down if I do. I'm down if I don't. You feel me? Like, I'm trying save you, shawty.
So she got to understand herself.
Go ahead.
She got to understand her first before she stepped. They got to understand, like, when you step into a man's world, especially a black man, there's a lot of traumas. There's a lot of stuff you don't know. And there's not a lot of stuff we're going to share with you on the first, second, third, fourth encounter. But what we will,
the eighth encounter, we might not share.
but what we will share is that we do have some type of internal issue. But when we're ready to get to it, we'll let you know. It's not a timer for her. It's not a timer for anybody else. But when I'm ready to express my feelings, it is. And they also don't think a lot of the shit that we're gonna say, we're actually gonna say. A woman could look at all three of us and think our lives are just painted beautifully. And yeah, we talk shit. And yeah, we have this. But they don't know that. You had this and I had this, and me saying I was locked up, people gonna be like, oh, you was locked up. It's like, yo, there's things I don't want to share with you at that time. But if and when I am ready to open up, I will. So, but if you're not ready for that shit, I'll be a fuck nigga. But you could fuck your ass out of my life. Like, I really don't give a fuck.
Fuck your ass out of my life.
Get it out.
I think the crazy part about hearing all that, right? And it kind of makes sense, right? And women. A lot of times we talk about how women are conditioned and socialized, right? But we don't talk about the other side of the conditioning and socialized, right? Socialization. So we'll talk about the conditioning of, you know, being made to be a wife and, you know, their sexuality being almost policed growing up and things of that nature, which are very real and very problematic. Mm-hmm. But we also don't talk about the side where they're afforded to be human, right? Women are conditioned and socialized to be human. So when I say that, if you look at dating, what will we tell women first before anything? Find out who you are. We've said it on this podcast. Find out who you are before you go out here looking for a man. Find out who you are.
Right.
What do we tell men? Get some money. Mm. Be stable. Be able to take care of the house. Mm. It's never find out who you are.
Right.
Because and this all ties into everything I've said on every episode we talked about this on this podcast. A lot of the reasons women don't understand is men are settling because we don't know we're settling, because we don't know who we are. So the minute we get with a woman who takes care of the simple things, and then we have a minute to ourselves, we begin to realize, oh, I don't like that. And I don't like that. So essentially, I settled for someone who met the credence of who I was when I didn't know who I was. Now I know who I am, and you don't mesh here. I think we avoid issues like that if we begin at the young age of however and start telling young boys the same thing we tell girls. Find out who you are. What do you like? Are some things you're into?
Because a number one thing with that is people always say, like, well, you changed. Well, you did this. And it's like, yo, I didn't change. You just haven't gone through a situation with me being broke. You haven't gone through a situation with me having money. You haven't gone through a situation with me being hurt. And until you go through all those situations, I didn't change. I'm just the same person, just in different scenarios. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's going to be.
100%. What do I tell people all the time? I tell people, since I've been on that show, The Great Mind, I'll hear people tell me, oh, you've grown so much. You've grown so much. Have I? Yes. But when you tell me I've grown, 9 times out of 10, it's not that I haven't grown. It's that we didn't have this conversation before. We're looked at as these one tier, one layer,
we one trick ponies.
We're just supposed to work. I was on Diamond's podcast a few weeks ago, and Diamond was so funny. She said it wasn't funny when she said I'm just a terrible person. She said men are supposed to work and die.
Whoa, wait, no, that's terrible.
That's a thought, right? She was saying in a joking manner, and we understood that. But it's when she says it, she's saying it to an audience of people who believe just that. Men are supposed to work and die. We're not supposed to be fulfilled. We're not supposed to be nurtured. We're not supposed to be cared for. We're at the very best, we're tended to and tolerated.
That's like a Caribbean thing too. They just believe you're supposed to work for someone and die. So If you on that, I want to paint, I want to do music, I want to be an actor, they're going to be like, ah, pick up, please. Okay. You feel me? They're not fucking with that, yo. So, no, so I agree.
So as somebody who's breaking out of that, how are you viewed by your family?
I mean, they love it now. My mom love it now. She's one of those people that, like, I can't.
She got to see it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I can't let her see me sweat. So imagine me trying to be open about my monophobia to my mom. She has no clue. She don't know I've been to therapy. She don't know.
Mm.
But it's like, and that's another reason, you know, that stops us from speaking. Because imagine if my mom tricked. My mom just escaped cancer for the second time. You feel me?
Shout out to Mama Love. Shout out to Mama Love. Yeah, we know it was the healing power in a karate.
You heard?
The grate.
The grate. Yeah, I knew what you were talking about, though. I knew you were talking about, though. Yo, my nigga know about the grate. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's the healing power in the crunchy rice. I know the truth. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying?
Nah, she started fucking with it the first time she asked for money, and I was the one that was like, I got you, mom.
Mm.
You heard? So after
they always got to see. Like, once they see it, they don't believe it until they see it. And once they see it, they like, then they believe it too much. Then they going to tell all their friends. You know, her whole friends and everybody know about you doing
the whole church. The whole church.
Everybody.
Y'all are talking a truth that you don't understand how big reigns true for me, right? Like,
you wasn't shit in the beginning.
I was.
Now everybody, my mom bring me in the room, is like, yeah, he was on TV and he did this. I'm like, yo.
But just
when they bring you in the room, that's when it's crazy. When they like, yeah, look at this one.
I made this. Y'all know I made this, right? This is him. We thought it was a little slow, but look at him now. Praise him.
Six years ago, I was insert government name, messing around. He ain't doing nothing. Whatever you doing,
you couldn't even raise your mouth in the house.
Nothing.
You got to be super quiet. You pay some bills.
Dismissive. Now my mom asked me something. I'd be like, "My ain't got it." She'd be like, "But you Mouse Jones." I'd be like, "Oh, now I'm Mouse Jones, right?" So what is that thing about mothers that have to see? Like, my dad is not like that. My dad maybe didn't understand what I was doing at first, but once he caught it, that's the type of progressive relationship me and my dad have. Like, we talked about it the other day. He just said it in passing. Like, it wasn't no sit-down conversation. We were talking, and we talking about something else, and he was like, yo, you know what it was? I didn't understand that at first, but he said something that, like, stuck. Like, everything he says to me stuck with me. He said, I was trying to make an eagle a pigeon, right? And he was like, you're an eagle. I can't make you into anything else. He said, I can't make you into the best me. I got to help you be the best you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I was able to kind of rewind mentally to when he stopped telling me to do something else and then started asking me about what it is that I'm doing. Mm. And I feel like a lot of dads will see that, because even in their sons, they'll see the dream that they might at one time wanted to attain. But when it's mothers, I feel like mothers see us in this very, this very specific box. Oh no, my baby is supposed to be a doctor, a lawyer, such. Something safe. They have to see, they're not there throughout the journey. They're there at the checkpoint when you get midway and say, yo, you see me? You see me?
And for what you're saying, I mean, of course, everybody's situation is a little different.
Right.
For me, nuance. My mom, for me, like, I was just raised by my mom. My dad wasn't around. So with her, it was like, I'm going to try to put you in the best this and the best that, and you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that. And if you don't do it the way I see it, then it's not the right way. So it took time for me to understand that and just be like, yo, Ra, I know you want to do this, but go get a job in the meantime. And I'm like, nah, I'm doing this. And things might not pan out.
They don't understand. They don't understand that being at that job. Like, I had to tell my dad back in the day. He'd be like, well, why can't you just get it? Because, Dad, if these people call me,
it's on set, that's what it is.
Get there.
But if that's not paying the bills at the time, they're not going to understand it, because they don't come from a generation that we come from where the internet can actually pay you. Where other
generation of creators.
See what I'm saying? There's always a, it was either growing up, it was either you go to college, you get a degree, you have a job, or you go to a trade school and you got the job straight out. Either way, you had the job. You knew your career. If it was, you were going to be a mechanic, if you were going to be an engineer, whatever it was, you went to school for that and that's what it was. Now it's like, I went to a major university for hospitality and I work in music and I have a podcast. Like, it's unheard of. But the minute they not paying your bills and you helping out with a little here and there, then it's like, oh, it do kind of work. Like, it don't work the way my mind thinks it, but you ain't coming to ask. The minute you stop asking for shit, that's what the turning point is. The minute you don't ask for nothing, and that conversation goes from a mother-son conversation to a friend conversation. Y'all are having friendly laughs and laughing about things like now, when you were young. And it's like,
now, what kind of trauma does that do? Now, that has to do some type of trauma, right? Because essentially, I know I feel it. You weren't there shooting in a gym.
I mean, I had this conversation with my mom. I had this conversation with my mom last night. She did a woman thing. Her back's on the wall. Then she goes and picks up some other art, something else that she's mad about from days ago that she never said nothing about. So it was that whole situation. And my mother does not say sorry. So I guess that's where, I mean, I'm not saying, I apologize when I'm wrong.
That's where I know that's where I get it from.
But my mom really does not say sorry. Like, it was a literal, like, this story is really, like, minuscule to what we're really talking about. But it was something as short as, I broke a chair in the house one day, months ago. So I told her I broke it. She was like, "Do you break a chair?" I was like, "Yeah, I broke the chair, my fault." Arguing me, "How could you do this? You got to be more careful." I'm like, "All right, cool." My aunt goes and sits in the same chair and breaks it. It doesn't go to an argument. It goes to, oh, these chairs are just built bad. And it's like, yo, when I broke it, it was my problem. And why'd you do this? And you're so inconsiderate of people's things. But when somebody else breaks it, now it's the chair is faulty. And it's this. And I'm like, yo, I was like, in that situation, just say, yo, Rob, my fault. It's really the chairs. It wasn't you. I'm sorry. And it's like, and it takes so much out of that to apologize that when it comes back around in a circle, the trauma for me is like, maybe I won't apologize to people, or maybe I'm upset with the wrong reasons, but it's based on how you taught me how to be. But once you got a little chicken and you're doing a little something, those things that you didn't have to say sorry about, you don't even have to say it no more. It's just like, yo, you good, Rod. You're good. I know you're going, it's going to come back eventually. You good. It's like, nah.
Nah. I think that's the scary part, right? That's the scary part.
Nah, like you'll say sorry, yo.
In Saintville, because you're in the position you're in now, and maybe you can understand what I'm saying. Like, that's the scariest part, that I can see that. I can see just from the success I've had over the past 2.5-3 years, see how those relationships have changed. But then I look how the relationship kind of has regressed now that COVID's here and I'm not on the road and now the money's different. And then it's like, now I'm like, wait a minute. I already feel a way that the person who carried me, who birthed me, you wasn't there in the gym. Like, you wasn't getting behind. I didn't need you to understand what podcasting was. I didn't need you to understand what being a personality was. I just need you to understand that this is something your son loved. And I finally feel seen, heard, and I feel like I'm doing something. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm asking is how do we as black men, how do we commandeer and like take the space that we need to grieve and heal?
Bro, when you figure that out, I'll let your boy.
That's, I mean, that question is so deep because it goes further back than us, and it really goes how our parents were raised. And do they know how to grieve? And do they know how to accept that shit? Yeah, I hear you.
And then I agree with you also on how far it goes back, because I can't imagine, and I hate to take it here, but I'm going to take it here. I can't imagine, you know, our ancestors working against their own will and them stopping and asking each other, well, son, tell me, how you feel? Nah. Mm. They had to, yo, stay focus strong. You better, you know what I mean? And I think that has, like, translated all the way to now. Like, we still tell each other, oh, you better. But then, like, I was adopted for like a year, like my senior year, and it was to this wonderful, nice white lady. I call her my second mom. She was a nice lady.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I linked up with her because I knew her daughter, and me and her daughter was tight. You feel me? That was like my homie. You feel me? She was like the tomboy that like you. No, nah, I wasn't like that. She was like the tomboy that you kicked it with. You okay. know what I mean?
But how like, tight? Now you didn't already say you was a football player from South Florida.
Nah.
Now you cool with this white girl and her mama?
No. She used to skateboard, and her pops. How tight I was with her mom. I wasn't really that tight with her pops until later. Then
you are.
Get it? You was a nigga in the house.
You are. Yeah, I was a nigga in the house.
Low key. But might I add, she was like a 70s peace fighter. Like she been on that.
Yeah, the moms, not the pops.
The pops was in the army, but he just an old school dude that follows whatever the wife says. She's like, you know what I mean? He gives her the money, she pays the bills type of thing.
Okay.
But might I add, fire ass, amazing ass family. I love these people so much. But the way they talked to each other was just so different. Like, I remember I was going through it one time, and they called me out to the living room. They was like, hey, we're all gathered here. Do you want to talk about how you feel?
Ooh.
Like,
what?
Y'all do that here? What?
And in a black black world, like how we grew up, if that was to happen, we would be so, since all the traumas we've been through, you put us in a situation where it's like that, it's like our back's on the wall. Now we're aggressive. Now we're like, yo, why is this? But in their household, that's just something normal that they do.
Mm-hmm. Also, when we've tried to do that, at least I can speak for me, when we've tried to do that, it's this thing about being defensive. Like, I feel like even the best of intended, the best of black parents with intention, even they could get that wrong, right? Because they're so focused on how to fix it or how to get to the end point that they don't realize you got to go back. So when you ask them, yo, how you feel? Well, I feel like this. Well, you shouldn't feel like that because you don't pay no bills. Or you shouldn't feel like that because da 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 da. And it's like, wait, are you asking me how I felt? Do you care how I feel? Right. Or do you care how I feel affects how you feel?
That's what it really is. That's when it comes to that type of situation, they really want you to just care about how they feel. It's like, I don't really care about how you feel about the situation because this is how I want it done. You know how it is growing up in a black household or Caribbean household? It's like, yo, I want it done this way. I don't give a fuck if you want to do it or if you don't, but this is how I want it done. If I say clean these dishes, take out this trash, do it. I don't want to understand why we need to do X, Y, and Z. This is how I feel. Do the shit. I pay the bills. And until you pay the bills, there's no conversation.
Go ahead. No,
it's on you, G.
Which as a parent, like I've lived in this hybrid situation of like, I've been a parent for 13 years since I was 17 years old. But then I'm also, you know, I've also been a parent since I was 17 years old, which means I've had parents, right? And it's like, I see that, right? So it's like, we don't want, I know I don't. I know I mess with my kids sometimes or even if she get on my Skype, like, you really don't pay no bills. I don't get how you can feel like this. I'm victim of it. But what I never want to do is put freedom associated with monetary or adulthood. But meaning like, if all you're saying is you're no longer my parent when I don't need you for money, well then you're going to help me make some terrible decisions.
Facts.
About romantic life, friendships, things of that nature, because everything's tied to this dollar, right? So when our parents say, well, you could make the rules when you don't live here, or you could make the rules when you pay a bill, now you think about that type of person going into a relationship. Think about a man hearing that going into a relationship. Oh, bet. I'm the man. I make the money. Now I get to say, now I am imparting this terrible patriarchy in my household. Think of a woman hearing that. Oh, man. Well, he do pay the bills. Or on the inverse of that is, I make my own money and they can't tell me nothing. Right. Now you coming in the beef with the person you're supposed to be loving. I don't know. I get it. There's no answer, especially not amongst the three of us, because none of us are like therapists or psychologists or anything. But it's just like,
we realists,
just, you know, just yeah. And just seeing your story, seeing where you're at now. First of all, if we hadn't said it enough, congratulations.
Thank you, I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Absolutely.
King. To like,
thank you, King.
It was just like your specific story. It's like, it's unique to you, but it's so not unique to everybody else, because it's like we don't get that space to be broken.
Nah.
We don't get that, or if we do get the space to be broken, we don't get the space to be to fix ourselves, and we don't get anybody typically that want to fix us. They kind of just want to make us good enough to deal with them.
Everybody want to be a nigga until it's time to be a nigga.
Like, I think this perfect episode is like you and Sainville said, they danced to our pain.
That was the line. That I gotta call it that.
They danced to a black man's pain, because it's like, wow. Listen, we got deep. Let's pull back a little bit before we get out of here. Sainville, you got the project. You got the project. 2020 was hijacked. Talk to us real quick. What can the people who haven't heard that, what can they expect from when they hit play?
Basically, a perfect playback of what this year may have been for a whole bunch of like suave young gentlemen. You know what I mean? It's especially if you're about something. Project is basically about going through these crazy times with the COVID, with the human rights movements. You know what I mean? All the stuff that we're trying to fight for ourselves. You know what I mean? And then still having to go home and deal with your shawty. You know what I mean? And deal with that regular life shit. And, you know, finding yourself, like we said. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
find yourself while recording this?
Hell no. Nah, but we gonna figure it out. You feel me? We're gonna figure it out.
Now two of my favorite records. Well, I say three. Three of my favorite records, obviously the two singles. You got Boxed In with Boogie, love Boogie, like absolutely love Boogie. HBK with Melly, you know, shout out to wrestling. You know, I love wrestling. But then you have the big bounce back. If you could just tell the people about these three very specific records before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Because to me, it feels like they embody you as an artist, you as a new R&B artist, cementing yourself amongst a label full of rappers. Like, just talk about those three.
Well, Boogie, shout out to King, man. He was real dope to work with. That's just the record just about, you know, how you kind of had to speed up your priorities. The line, one, my favorite line in the song is "Hands in the air." Used to mean a lot of party.
I was about to say that. That's my shit, because it's like it shows you just how different life is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to only worry about a shoddy, but now I got to worry about a shoddy. You got it? You feel me? So, HBK, and yo, might I add, it makes me real happy that you know wrestling, bro. That shit makes me hype, dude.
Yo, when I seen that record, I was like, HBK.
Yeah,
you just know that. I know wrestling so good just only because I didn't have cable, so I only got to watch it on Thursdays. I only got SmackDown.
You feel me? SmackDown, yeah.
Until it used to be so fucked up having to watch SmackDown. And if niggas really remember, you watch SmackDown on Thursday if you didn't have cable. Then Sunday, on Channel 10 on Sunday, you would watch Sunday Night Heat. Or you will watch Saturday Night Shotgun. Saturday Night Shotgun, you was really going through
my week
it.
Would always fucked up because I never could watch Monday Night Raw, so I didn't know what was happening coming up Thursday. Niggas, but I'm
so
like, this happened.
I'm
like, damn, bro, I didn't even get to watch that, bro.
I'm like, how you the champion now?
Is
Melly into wrestling as well, or was that just like the music, just the record sounded so good?
Nah, yeah, Melly just hopped on it because she just killed it. I don't know, man. And she did her part because, you know, that record is basically about trying to be the macho man. You know, we know what HBK represent. We know he was like the ultimate, you know what I mean, guy. He had all the shawties, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, I want to be that guy, but, you know, I'm stuck on you type of vibe. And Melly came through and was like how women was. I got you. She kind of tried to make the boy focus, you know, contextually. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man. Yeah, she really came through and slid. I was kind of nervous, but my boys told me my verse was hard, so.
Nah. perfect record. And a big bounce back.
Yeah, okay. So that's actually one of my favorites. Just because your boy get to talk that talk. And
Yes, sir.
That one is fully for the Kings, you know what I mean? And it's basically about us, you know what I mean, making a promise to just be better, do better, and just bounce back, make the shit rock.
Well, listen, I think everybody better listen. As y'all like to do here, it's free if you have a streaming site. So go stream and then buy it, man. Let's bring back buying music.
Yeah, sure.
You know, especially when we got young black kings out here getting to it, you know, being open, honest, and transparent, which I always say I ask him for, lying ass heifers. You know, listen, Sainville, listen, you know how this goes, man. Before we get out of here, you got to drop a record on the Get the Draws playlist. It is an updated playlist that gets attention every so often. It's on your Apple Music, your Tidals, and your Spotify's, the Get the Draws playlist. So the only rule is it cannot be your record. What record is you putting on the playlist today?
I think I'm going to go with... See, I already knew this was coming, and I was trying to think of many, but I think I'm going to go with Jamie Foxx. Yo, this is going to be so basic, but I want to go with Unpredictable, bro.
That's not basic at all. That's not basic at all. That's a slapper.
I don't think anybody's ever used that song either. I think that was actually like, that was good. And that album was fire.
That show. And I'm actually going.
That album was fire.
So slept. That album's amazing.
I might have to go. I'm going to go listen to that today. Jamie Foxx. I'm going to go listen to that today. I'm going to do that.
Good lounge music.
He has some shit on there. Yeah. I'll go next.
Rye, where you going?
I'm gonna go damage her.
That's good.
Oh, niggas is trying to get the drizzles tonight.
I'm just trying to say.
Okay.
So you like the progression. Mm-hmm. I like the progression.
You see that?
Yeah, the progression. Yeah, yeah. So now I'm gonna just take it there then.
Where you going? Sound like you're going old school. But I don't know.
We're going to the year 2000. There's this record.
That's somebody's old school.
Called Slowly by Tank.
Ooh, I remember that one.
When he takes them to church. Yeah. He takes them to church. Wow. He sung so disgustingly about it. But there was the choir progression, praise and worship. It was happening. I'm going Slowly, Tank. These three records will definitely be able to, you know, assist somebody getting a black back blown out.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Backshot mania.
She walk into Unpredictable. You got the candles and all of that going. You know,
y'all having drinks. Y'all can have conversation.
Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Damage hits, and you like.
Now y'all getting deep. Y'all talking. Y'all getting deep. It's the deep side of it.
She's like, Ryan, wow, you really were. You really do have trauma.
It goes face to face, and then when it goes to Mouse's song, it goes face to waist.
That's what it's going to do.
I get it.
My nigga, you mad clever, yo. You mad clever, my nigga.
I'm just, you know, I'm just here.
You mad clever, yo.
Listen. You ain't got to lay with me. Just stay with me. That's it.
Come on.
Get this feather feathered hat and a cane.
I'm here all week.
Come on.
That's it.
Listen. Once again, we've had a great house guest. We appreciate Sainville to come through kicking it with us. We definitely got to do this again. We got to have him back on here again, especially when outside is open. You know, when you hit that tour, you know, just make sure you have guys next door open up. You know, yes, nothing crazy.
Hey, nothing crazy. I appreciate y'all kings, man. It's dope. I admire y'all conversation all the time. I'll be listening to it. I have to shut it off when the shoddy come through because they be like, don't want
to can't give it
you
too much.
You don't want to let them. Yeah,
you can't
don't
give it too much insight,
game, bro.
I can't. Facts. I appreciate y'all kings, man.
No doubt. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find the project, any new single. Tell them all that good stuff while we're here.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you can find me on all platforms by Sainville, BYSAINVIL. And, man, you can really find 2020 Was Hijacked on any platform also. We got it everywhere for you. Made it real easy.
There we go. All
right. Well, thank you, Sainville. Thank y'all at home for listening. As you already know, listen, get this episode on Monday. We'll see you again on Thursday. Don't start getting clingy. You know how y'all get. Back up off a brother. You all up on here. Back up a little bit. We'll see you Thursday. For those who are not moochers, those who do not go by the name of Kimmy Gibbler or Hakeem Campbell, those who put a little snap on the Petra, we'll see you on Patreon.
They there.
You know, you got the keys, the penthouse. Wow. So we'll see you over there.
Church.
If you want to join them, you should go to patreon.com. Amen.
Tabernacle.
Subscribe to God Next Door Pod.
Absolutely.
Put a little something in the collection plate. Mm-hmm. Tilden. Mm-hmm. If you got a letter, if you got a letter that you want read on air, send it to guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. That is guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. Very simple instructions. If you want that letter read on air, then you have to put your own fake name in the subject line, or Che is going to read whatever is in front of her, like Ron Burgundy. And if it is a relationship advice question, doesn't have to be, but if it is, make sure you send a picture of yourself and the suitor. Just this way so we know what we're doing. I'm a visual learner. So, you know, I never want to give fat advice to a skinny person. I never want to give ugly advice to a good looking person. I'm trying to keep the world balanced. So help me help you help us. And like, follow us on all social media, Guys Next Door Pod. Make sure you subscribe, rate, leave a comment. 5 stars, nice comment. Because why? We're children and we're narcissists. We need to know that we're doing well. Talk us through that nut, babe. We appreciate you. Next door.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.